And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
And you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is money well spent. Each of my guests is describing their subject matter, and we'll decide if it's money well spent. My next guest is a former partner at Spencer Stuart, one of the world's leading senior-level executive search firms. She pursued her own career dreams by founding her own business. She created Career Mapping, Finding Your Dream Job, a guide for finding your dream job straight out of college, or making a career move. We'll discuss using one's own GPS system to find the job of their dreams. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Jenny Kark chose to leave her role as a partner and a leader of the global diversity practice at Spencer Stuart, one of the world's largest senior-level executive firms, as I said. She left in March of 2009. Jenny provides corporate consulting and executive coaching services through her firm, Talent Optimization Partners, LLC. During a 12-year tenure at Spencer Stuart, she successfully recruited professionals in a variety of senior-level functions. And prior to joining Spencer Stuart, Jenny spent several years in the banking and 10 years in the real estate investment management business. Jenny received her Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of California, Davis in 1980. She received her MBA from the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University in 1984. Jenny is married, has a teenage son. She's a California native, but she's a longtime resident of Chicago. And joining us from Chicago, hi, Jenny. How are you today?
I'm great, Billy. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great, thanks. And thank you for coming back to the show and being a career mapping expert, because this is the time of the year when kids are graduating from college, and it is a critical time in their careers. It's when they're starting their careers. So let's start with the basics. You've got the book Career Mapping, Creating Your Course in the New World of Work. So what is career mapping? Because I remember several years ago there was this thing called mind mapping, which was a freestyle kind of form of plotting your thoughts on paper. In what way is career mapping similar to and then different from mind mapping?
Well, it's not free form. It's much more rigorous and methodical, and I think that's what makes it different. But to the extent that mind mapping is your own unique approach, that's what career mapping is. And the whole notion is that no one else can decide for you what you're best suited for and what your passions are. And you need to also remember that you're going to change. So when you talked about me being from California, going to University of California, Davis, I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I ended up going into the business world, and now I'm an entrepreneur. So as you grow and change, that you've got to be able to have a plan and to plot and understand all the elements that are going to make you successful as you make your move.
And that's an important thing to remember, particularly if you're just starting out in the business world, a graduate, recent college graduate, that you will change over time. And the other side of that coin, though, Jenny, is while it may your career mapping is thoughtful and it is rigorous, a lot of people, when they're 21, 22 years old, don't really know where their passions lie. Isn't that true? So how does your book get at the core, the fundamental passions or the fundamental drivers that a person might have?
Yeah, and I remember when I was in my 20s and just sort of how clueless I was. And so my heart goes out to some of these recently minted graduates as they're trying to figure out what to do. And they're listening to the reports of, still a weak economy and the need for greater job creation. I'm a believer that right now at this age, people need to get experience, and you might as well gain experience doing something that interests you. So start with, you can look at what your major was, but very often that's not enough to really create a job. I was a French and linguistics major. What kind of jobs was I going to do?
A foreign diplomat.
So I ended up being a college recruiter is what I did. So my point is, harken back to some of the things that you were active in college or even in high school. Whether it's intramural sports or, doing a radio show or whatever your interest might have been, and think about parlaying that, because there are businesses. Sports is a business. Maybe you approach, maybe it's not Nike, but maybe it's a local retailer of sporting goods. So really extrapolate from those things that interested you and that you participated in, so that you can get a toehold and go ask for some experience.
All right. My guest is Jenny Kark. We're talking about career mapping. Jenny, that's great for the newly minted graduate, as you said, but what about mid-career professionals? Because we have a lot of those listening to the sound of our voice.
Sure.
Many of them are just, frankly, holding on to their job right now until the economy gets a little bit better and maybe they'll move on to something else. But for those people who might be at a career impasse at the moment, How would you guide them? How would you advise them using your career mapping system?
Yeah, you know, the real essence of the map is to really go back and plot historically where you've been and extract all of the unique elements. So it's not just your experiences, it's not just your titles, but it's the real competencies that you gained. And those are sort of those little portable pieces that you can then take into other areas, but you now have to create a rationale for why you can be compelling in going into these different areas. So, for example, you know, I'll use myself as an example.
All right.
When I was in the commercial real estate business, some of what I did involved calling on institutions, calling on big businesses to give us money. Well, going into the executive search world, which I decided I wanted to do because I was always good at assessing people and had done college recruiting and had recruited in other places, I was able to say, look, I know how to get business. I know how to do business development because I've called on these big institutions. So, you know, taking the sort of functional and unique elements from what you've done, talking about them in a different context, but you've got to be able to do that because employers' first effort is going to be to look for a similar title, those key words. Well, have you done this before? And you can say, I haven't done this, but here's what I have done, and here's why it's relevant.
All right, that's good advice. My guest is Jeannie Clark. Jeannie, let's talk about your book, Career Mapping, for just a minute, because I like the analogy that you draw, and it's one that anybody can draw on, whether you're a newly minted graduate or you're an existing mid-level employee. The analogy that you draw is having your own GPS system for your career. So
right.
Talk to me about that, because we all understand the idea of GPS. How does career mapping equate to a GPS system?
Well, if you you know, with the GPS, you've got to put your points in, your starting point and your destination. Well, with my map, that's essentially what you're doing too. So you're plotting where you've been. There are going to be multiple points, and then you're going to outline several different possibilities of where you might want to be. And this is where I think a lot of people get stuck, because they'll say, "Well, I'll do anything." That is like the worst possible response.
Hmm.
No, you have to decide. Don't let somebody decide for you. Pick two or three things and then create a rationale for why those things make sense. You might back away from them because you might discern that those aren't just kind of like you're going up the wrong street. This isn't going to get you there. You're roadblocked. You don't have what it takes. You don't have enough gas to get you to that place. So you need to kind of back up and say, now, what can I reasonably get to given what I have? Given what I've done and given where I want to go. That's really the best analogy I can make for the GPS system.
My guest is Jeannie Clark, author of the book Career Mapping, Charting Your Course in the New World of Work. And Jeannie, let's talk about, because you were a linguistics major, as you said, in college, which
right.
didn't exactly stand you well. And when you got out into the real world, you had to reinvent yourself. But as a linguistics major in college, you know that certain words have very distinct meanings. So yeah. I want you to differentiate between three words that you also differentiate in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Visibility, personal brand, and reputation. All
yeah.
three of those are attached to each of us as workers or potential employees, but talk to me about what are the differences between them and how do we manage each of the three?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people want to be everywhere and be seen and be visible, and that's fine, but in a vacuum, it's not buying you anything. Just showing up and being seen and not being known for anything really doesn't serve you well. So if you're going to be visible, stand for something positive, hopefully, and you know, work on what that brand is. So personal branding, I believe, was the second one.
It is.
That you mentioned. And so the visibility is a part of that. And your brand, I frankly never liked the term personal branding. I thought it was cheap when it first came out. But as I sort of incorporated it and defined it for in my own terms, it really is the way that you're known. How do people know you as an individual out in the workplace and even in a social place, because there's a whole lot of overlap between how you socialize and how you work and how you're known and how your reputation builds. So your visibility, your reputation, all are component parts of that brand that you're creating for yourself and how people are going to view you and how credible you're going to be as you try to move around and garner support and have opportunities for other roles.
Okay. And the third one is reputation.
Yeah, you got to know what it is. you really need to ask people, and that's one of the benefits of having a network of people that you can trust. It might be family, you know, and I list eight different kinds of people who need to be in your network in my book. But you need to say, well, you know, what do people say about me? You need to know that. You need to know that when in social media, if you're Googled, what shows up. So your reputation always does precede you. That is still true. And so to the extent that you have a bad one for something, you probably need to figure out a strategy to work on that and garner some support, again, from your network and others who know you and like you to turn that around.
All right. Then my guest is Jenny Clark. Now, Jenny, where does your value as an employee fit into those three, visibility, personal branding, and reputation? Where would your value as an employee, if you have a track record behind you, where would that fit in?
Well, you know, your value is not just in terms of money. Very often that's what we think about. And when we talk about a consumer brand, you know, Coca-Cola is worth, I don't know, how many billions, right? That they've added a financial, a monetary value to their brand. Similarly, individuals have, yes, a monetary value, but you also have intrinsic value. And that value is how you're going to be deployed in that context. So if you're showing up to work every day, what value are you bringing by virtue of your education, your experience, your skills, the way you work with teams? How are you really adding value in the workplace? That's what people need to begin to understand. And you need to be able to tell somebody. You need to be able to tell your boss, you know, here's what I've done over time to add value to this organization. And this is why I think I'm worthy of consideration for maybe it's a promotion, maybe it's a new title, maybe it's more money. That's value.
All right. My guest is Jenny Clark, author of the book Career Mapping. Jenny, I'm going to bounce back to the newly minted graduate that we talked about at the beginning. And if you have a recent grad, how do you advise them to differentiate himself or herself from the rest of the pack? Because they don't have that history. They don't know what their value in the workplace is yet.
Yeah, they don't. And it can be really hard. And so in this case, I think enthusiasm, passion, and doing your homework can really differentiate you. And that coupled with having some clarity, making a few choice selections, as I said earlier. So not just saying I'll do anything, but go out there and identify two or three things that mean something to you. It can be, you know, because of a social mission. It can be the environment. So pick a company that is environmentally organized or they're an environmental organization and you care about what they do. So, you know, have some meaning and be able to go deep and create a rationale as to why you want to work there. And that can really set you apart because people know that they can see the passion, they can see that you've done your homework, and then you can set yourself up to be able to move into any number of, you know, very junior, albeit, but opportunities that might, you know, where you can really gain a toehold and grow.
Very interesting in that last answer, Jenny. You mentioned social mission and aligning yourself with the social mission. In your work, do you find that the younger generation, the Gen X or Gen Y, as they like to be called, are they more aligning themselves with social mission rather than the reputation of a company? In other words, they maybe don't want to go to work for Procter & Gamble. They want to go to work for a company that's out to save the planet, like Body Works or one of those other companies mm-hmm. that has a social mission.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that's completely legitimate, you know, whatever means something to you. In my own case, I'm certainly not a Gen Y or a Gen Xer, but, you know, I changed careers because I wanted to serve others. And so serving others doesn't necessarily mean that you join the Peace Corps, that you do a mission in Africa, but it means that you can do what you do, but have a social conscience. And a lot of companies are doing that, and their track record for it is generally publicly available. So, you know, you can go, if you're an investor and you study stocks, you can go in and see how companies, what stock portfolio they hold and see just how socially responsible they invest. So there are a lot of ways that you can find a rationale for choosing certain companies, but by all means do that. Have, in my book, again, it's sort of a funnel. Identify the industries, the functions, the roles, and the companies that you might want to work in. And having that clarity, and mind you, you can have a wide range, but having that clarity really makes you so much more compelling when you're talking to people.
My guest is Jenny Clark. And Jenny, in one of your earlier answers, you mentioned homework for the newly minted graduate, which I think is important. But homework is actually transferable because anybody who's looking for a new job needs to do their homework. So talk to me about the skills and the tools that are available for an individual who's looking for a new job, wants to do homework on their potential new employer.
Well, the internet is, you know, there's no excuse for not having done your homework because there's so much information on the internet that's publicly available, and so many of us rely on that almost exclusively as our primary source. So, you know, if you're interested in a particular company, go onto their website, download their annual report. You might not be expert at studying all the financials, but read through it and understand what's going on in the company. Just go Google the latest organizational or leadership changes. So there's tons of information that you can get on a particular company, even on an industry. A lot of people don't even understand sort of, well, you're talking about companies, I get. Industries, not so much. Well, industries are that broad banner that kind of, you know, in financial services, that's insurance, that's real estate, that's, you know, there's five different sectors. So understand sort of the big topics and the big headings so that you are really looking smart. If you want to go into retail, that's one thing. If you want to go into consumer packaged goods, that's another. So kind of begin to lump together some of these different companies that you might be interested in an industry, and get smart about some of the trends, both domestically and internationally, that are going on in those industries.
Good advice. Now, Jeannie, one of the things that I like about your book, Career Mapping, is that it has a lot of practical stuff in there, too. And let's get down to some of the nuts and bolts. And one of the things that I get asked a lot as I'm out in the community is, should I apply for jobs online? Because you get a lot of people who want to apply to jobs online. But nowadays, companies have put in what they call robo-screeners that are screening out applicants. So talk to me about applying for a job online versus doing it by the mail or some other way.
Yeah, you know, here's a statistic that I think will sum up my answer. The number I've heard is 8%, maybe it's as high as 10%, of jobs are secured online. So I vote for spending no more than 10% of your time applying for jobs online.
Cool.
Now, that doesn't mean that you don't use the internet and you don't do networking and you don't use social media. But I do think just sitting at home and sending out your resume into all these various black holes that are called job sites is pretty much a waste of time. But if you do what I'm suggesting in my book, is really distilling down and plotting and knowing what your target list of companies are, and then going out and approaching those companies directly, because there's so many. There are millions of jobs that never get posted. Right now, at any given point, even during the recession, there were 3 million open jobs. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Right.
So people are not taking advantage of a lot of the jobs that are out there. And I'm guessing that the BLS doesn't even have full advantage to know all those jobs that are never even posted. And so you need to be able to go out and approach these companies with clarity and say, this is the kind of role I would be interested in. I would love to explore the possibilities with you. It doesn't have to mean that you're responding or applying for something. It means that you're letting them know of your availability should something come up. And even if you go into their own sort of proprietary database, they're going to code you by certain keywords, just as executive recruiters do, so that if something does come up, they might reach out to you. So you're planting seeds, even if you're not getting an immediate response.
I think that's a good advice. My guest is Jeannie Clark, author of the book Career Mapping, Charting Your Course in the New World of Work. Jeannie, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Career Mapping?
I want them to understand that their fate really lies in their own hands, and that you never should feel as though you're stuck. You know, I learned a long time ago, a friend of mine reached out to me and said, I just got my pink slip, and I'm fine. I just need you to introduce me to one of the three companies that I've always wanted to consider working for if this were to happen. So have a contingency plan. Always know, think of yourself as a free agent, if you will, and be able to move freely and chart your own course, and you hold the keys, and you're not reliant or dependent on anybody else to create that new opportunity for yourself.
Free Agent Nation. I like that. My guest has been Jeannie Clark, author of the book Career Mapping, Charting Your Course in the New World of Work. Jeannie, if people are interested by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
My website is called mycareermapping.com, and the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, 800-CEO-READ.
And also probably available at Bank of Books, our own local independent bookstore. Two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Jeannie, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Billy. You take care.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.